April 27th, 2025. A letter from my future self. Hello, beautiful. I know it's hard for you out there. I know you've been through so much. You've reached a point where you're not even sure how you feel anymore. What you want to feel. What you want to do. Where you want to go. I know you're wearing those dark glasses right now. That hope feels scarce sometimes, even absent. That happiness seems unreachable at times. I know that even in your highest highs, you're always bracing yourself for the lowest lows. I know it's hard to know who to trust anymore. You might ask, why me? But maybe the real question is, why not you? Life is hard. There's no doubt about it. And you're still going to go through a lot. You're going to stumble. You're going to ache. You're going to wonder if you can take anymore. But remember this. You've already survived so much, and you're still here. So today I ask you, please never lose hope. Please never stop. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how heavy it feels, keep going. And when it's too dark to see ahead, please take off those dark glasses of yours. Look for the little moments, the little sparks, the quiet smiles, the small victories along the way. I promise you, you'll find your way. You'll find your people. Whatever you do, Dunya, please don't stop. And the letter ends with a quote by Phil Knight, which is, "The coward never started, and the weak died along the way. That leaves us, ladies and gentlemen, us." So this is something I wrote on April 27th, 2025. Just one of the many emotions, moments, and truth I lived through during the first season of Chasing My Hero. There are countless other thoughts I didn't yet have the awareness to document, but they lived in me. Season 1 of this podcast began on July 15th, 2024 with just a trailer. Since then, I've tried, truly tried, to grow into the future version of myself, into my own hero. Each episode was an attempt to explore life, from relationships to work and business to health and wealth. And finally, a real-life embodiment of all these themes through the story of Phil Knight in episode 10. Did I really grow? Did I really change? Did I really get better? Well, let's start with spirituality. It's such a delicate subject, as I've already said in one of the first episodes of this podcast. So personal. Two people might do the exact same thing, and one is praised as growing, while the other is said to have strayed. But since this is very personal, I think if I had to judge myself, I'd say I've grown a little. In Ramadan, I watched a video about tadabbur, the art of slowing down, thinking deeply about the verses we read. Not rushing through, not memorizing mindlessly, but really sitting with them. Letting them speak to you. And something clicked. Now every day I'm grateful to have this will to try to understand at least one verse. To really think it through. To apply it the best way I know how. So yeah, even if it's just a little, even if it's just between me and God, I think I've grown. And that means something. Coming next is relationships. The book I read for episode 4, Finding a Path, was Nonviolent Communication by Marshall Rosenberg. And aside from the parts I read for the episode, I didn't read much more of the book. Why? Well, at that time, I didn't feel like what I needed most was to know how to communicate. Not because I'm a perfect communicator, far from it, but because my urgency didn't lie in the how. It was in the who. I don't know if it's the 20s, and I know I always blame the 20s, but sometimes all I can think about is, when will I find the one? Who is the one? If I get attached to someone I barely know, someone I barely speak to, someone I just see in passing and exchange a simple hi with every day, is it love? Or is it just a reflex? Is it just a mark of respect? Or is it a safety net to reassure myself that I won't end up alone? And when that person's attention fades, when I don't feel seen anymore, is it heartbreak? Is it grief? Or is it just a craving for a presence that once was and now isn't? Is it love? Or is it ego? So for me back then, it wasn't about learning how to speak more gently. It was about learning how to feel more clearly, how to deal with my attachment wounds, with this aching desire to love and to be loved, with this yearning for the one. That's why I turned to something else. I picked up Amir Levine's brilliant book Attached, one of the most eye-opening books I've ever read. Honestly, I feel like it's a book everyone should read, just for the sake of understanding oneself. I haven't finished it yet, but it's on the list, and I'll make sure to bring it up again here and to deconstruct it with you guys. Then came business, and honestly, I think episode 5 about my first business attempt and Paul Graham's essay How to Do Great Work was one of the best episodes I've made so far, or at least one of my favorites. That one and Phil Knight's biography. There were so many mind-blowing ideas in that essay that I didn't get to cover, but I'll definitely dive deeper into them in season 2. So what did I actually do business-wise in season 1? How did I chase my hero business-wise? Well, when it comes to medical YouTube videos, I made one long-form video and 2 shorts. That's it. Why not more? Well, there are a few reasons. Reasons you probably already know by now if you've been listening for a while. First, I'm a huge perfectionist. Every time I sit down to work on a video, I think, no, this isn't enough. It could be clearer, simpler, deeper. So I end up redoing everything, starting over, trying to go back to the basics of physiology, of pathology, of everything we need to know in order to understand that subject. Second, I try to make videos that align with what I'm studying at the moment. Because on the one hand, I want this content to help me review my lessons and understand my lessons, which will help me ace my exams, hopefully. And on the other hand, since I don't yet know the subject, I know I'll dig deep to truly understand it. And like, I'm not going to pronounce that name, Suzuki said, in the beginner's mind, there are many possibilities, but in the expert's, there are few. And so making videos that align with what I'm studying at the moment make it possible for me to help myself while helping others. But the problem is, in med school, we switch modules every 3 weeks or so. There's barely time to breathe, let alone create. And finally, I've already spoken about this in episode 5, but when your entire day is consumed by studying, when you're already overstuffed with information, it's really hard to push yourself to study even more, just so you can make something useful out of it. But if I had to choose the biggest reason, it's perfectionism. Because medicine feels sacred to me. I don't want to create a video that might lead even one student astray. I feel this deep responsibility to make sure every video I put out is as perfect as I can make it. Not that the previous videos were flawless, far from that, but I did my best at the time with what I had. And I want to keep doing my best every time I sit down to create something new. And these days, I just feel like I can do way more, way better. But I don't have time to do that. And I just can't bear the idea of making a mistake in medicine. And honestly, that pressure doesn't only weigh on the videos. It shows up in my day-to-day life as a medical student too. And it's not always healthy, which brings me to a question I ask myself often. This constant questioning of medicine. This lingering doubt. Is this really what I'm meant to do? Maybe it's just fear, not a lack of love for the profession, because I do love it. I love the science, the diagnostic process, the human connection, the ability to help. But maybe, just maybe, the thing holding me back is the fear of not being good enough, because I always ask myself, if not medicine, then what? And the truth is, I don't know. So maybe it's not about medicine being wrong for me. Maybe it's about learning to be okay with not being perfect. Maybe it's about letting go of the fear and allowing myself to grow even through my doubts. Apart from YouTube, one big and important business step, if we can call it that, was this podcast, of course, and all the social media content that came from it. And honestly, these things felt lighter. They were enjoyable. They were things I wasn't perfect at, but also things where there were no real consequences. At least none that were grave. None that could kill somebody. So I felt more at peace, more at ease. Plus, the whole point was to document the journey from not being good enough to becoming just a little bit better every day. And I enjoyed every single minute working on that. Going back to medicine, more precisely to being a medical student, which was kind of the theme of episode 6, well, that episode was actually about fame, about my decision to finally post my face on social media, something I used to be really scared of, and something I honestly still question sometimes. But that too is growth, right? Being more comfortable with who I am, more comfortable showing my face and talking about things I truly find valuable. Trying not to care too much about what people are going to think, especially when I believe in the content and its ability to help. Trying not to get too affected when people unfollow for no apparent reason. And focusing instead on doing my best and helping others get to where I am faster, with less pain that I had to endure along the way. This reminds me of a quote from the movie A Star is Born that I've rewatched a couple of days ago, where Jackson Maine says, "If you don't dig deep into your F-soul, you won't have legs. All you got is you and what you want to say to people. And they are listening right now. And they're not going to be listening forever, trust me. So you got to grab it, and you don't apologize. You don't worry about why they're listening or how long they're going to be listening for. You just tell them what you want to say, because how you say it is the stuff of angels." Still, episode 6 was supposed to be about medicine, which is why I brought up critical thinking, something I've come to believe is essential in this field. So, what did I learn in medicine during this first season? Well, I suffered. I really, deeply suffered. The pain I witnessed, the post-traumatic stress I had to go through. Honestly, I'm just glad, sometimes even surprised, that I managed to survive that. And I don't think I made it to the other side without some scars, if I'm even on the other side. Here's something I wrote during my emergency medicine rotation, which, without exaggeration, was one of the hardest experiences I've ever had to live. April 15th, 2025. This morning, during our night shift debrief, we spoke about my patients. 2 minutes, maybe less. Then we moved on. On to other patients, other deaths, other lives still clinging to breath. It was as if he never truly mattered. As if he vanished like vapor. As if he had never really been here at all. But I saw him. I spoke to him. I held his chest between my hands, trying to bring him back. I should have saved him. So why didn't we take a moment longer to honor him, to remember his name, his story, his humanity? 2 minutes, that's all we gave his life. 2 minutes for a man whose family will grieve for a lifetime. And I don't understand. Am I supposed to be okay with this? Am I supposed to forget? To grow numb? Is this what war feels like? All I know is I don't want to lose that part of me that aches. I want people to feel like they mattered. Like their time here left something behind. No matter how brief. No matter how fragile. And still, my patient is gone. All I know is this. We must make the most of our time. Because one day, someone will only have 2 minutes to speak our name. This makes me so emotional. Like, this was really, really hard. Like, it really got to me. The fact that you don't have any control, that you can't do anything. And even when you do, you might only have 14 hours. Because that's how many hours my patient have lived after my cardiac massage. Anyways, here's another one. Today was disappointing, exhausting, shocking, and deeply, deeply sad. It felt like every patient was enduring life rather than living it, trapped in a loop of suffering, barely holding on. And honestly, we, the doctors, weren't living either. We weren't ahead of the storm. We were just trying to stay afloat in it. We weren't treating patients with foresight, but reacting to crises as they came. Everything felt urgent, yet somehow, we still had to let the not-so-urgent wait until it became too urgent to ignore. And the worst part was that no one could stop it. No one could slow it down. It was simply beyond us, beyond our strength. So maybe you'll feel it too, that the heaviness behind my words, the quiet ache in my voice, the disappointment, the exhaustion, the almost depression. There were days I wanted to quit medicine. No, every single day, I wanted to stop showing up. I didn't want to wake up to the pain, to the chaos, to the hopelessness, again and again and again. It felt too heavy, too much for someone like me. I remember breaking down one day, sobbing, whispering a verse like a lifeline. Allah does not burden a soul beyond its capacity. And I begged, tears streaming, breath shaking. Ya Allah, if that's true, then maybe, just maybe, you've overestimated me. Because I can't do this anymore. It was the kind of pain that carves into you, that makes you question everything, that makes you hate the suffering more than you love the calling. And yet, somehow, I stayed. I managed to survive. I managed to go one day at a time. 1 hour at a time, one more rep at a time. Episode 7 was a pivot. That's when I discovered the 12-week year. And if you heard me talk about it in episode 10, you already know it changed everything. It became the blueprint I started living by, one quarter at a time, one brave goal at a time. For my health, I went deeper. I opened a textbook on sports science, essential of strength training and conditioning. It was about macrocycles, mesocycles, microcycles. It was technical, yes, but it was also healing. Because for once I was applying science to myself, I started treating my body with the same curiosity I had for patients. And that curiosity slowly became care. Hence, episode 8, where my journey into health deepened. Episode 9 was where I dove into wealth, into the question of how do we get rich without getting lucky? But it was episode 10, Phil Knight's story, that whispered a deeper truth. No matter how much you learn, life will still surprise you. The pain doesn't disappear, the fear doesn't vanish, but you learn to walk through it anyway. You keep going. And I did. I really think I can say I've learned a lot. No, I really did. And I'm very proud of myself. I've really learned so much. I learned to let go in April 21st, 2025. Today, I took a step forward and let go of everything that once was, of what I once thought was air to my lungs, blood to my veins. But in truth, was never enough. How do I feel? Sad, of course, deeply sad. It's as if a part of my soul, a chapter of my story, just faded. But there's also relief, as if I've found pieces of myself again, as if I'm strong again. So yes, I think I can say today I got 1% better, didn't I? But as much as I've learned to let go, I've also learned how to stay, how to sit with the pain, hold it close and still rise again. To keep choosing the hard path over and over, even when my knees shake and my heart wants to give up. I've learned that healing isn't always about walking away. Sometimes it's about standing still, holding on and fighting for what matters. A proof of that was May 5th, 2025. Hey, love. I read your letter yesterday, and I get it. I really do. I know how you feel. I've been there more times than I can count. Life's been heavy on you, and you've been trying so hard just to stay above water. The fear you're carrying, it's valid. The disappointment, that's real too. It's okay to feel it, all of it. I see how hard you're trying. I see the effort, the late nights, the invisible battles. I know you're tired. I know you're thinking, I don't want to do this anymore. But love, you can't give up now. You didn't come this far only to come this far. I know all you want to do is cry, so cry, but not to give up. Cry to keep going. You're already in pain, so get something from it. And I know you want to rest, but rest at the end, not in the middle. You might not see it clearly right now, but if you take a moment and look back, you'll notice the small miracles, the rainbows hidden in the chaos. I can see the path ahead. It's full of light. Just hold on a little longer. And please, never ever doubt my love for you. Never question how proud I am of who you've been, who you are, and who you're becoming. I'll always be here, always. Whether you score 0 or 50, I will love you no matter what. Now go ace that exam. Just trust yourself, because I already do. Always, your hero, me. So I've started writing these letters to my future self, to my hero, and asking my hero questions, complaining, trying to understand life better. And I then try to answer as my hero would answer. And I found that to be so therapeutic, so helpful. It just makes me think about what my hero would have done in a particular moment. And I don't know. I just feel like this helps me in the process of chasing my hero. If you want to read more of these letters I send to myself, you can always check my stories on Instagram. I do my best to post one every day. Anyways, I've also learned to treasure the quiet, fleeting moments, the connections, the relationships, no matter how impermanent, how unpredictable they may be. I've learned that even the things that don't last can still be beautiful, still leave something eternal in us. And here's a glimpse of that truth, a day that reminded me how deeply I feel and how much I cherish what is here now, before it becomes a memory. April 24th, 2025. Lately, I feel like I'm reaching the end of another life cycle. One of those big shifts, the quiet turning points where everything changes. Where what once was will never quite be again. And I'm scared. Scared of losing what I have now. The adventures, the friendships, the little everyday moments that somehow became everything. In a year or so, I might never sit in class again with the people I've spent the last 6 years beside. There might never be another post-exam meal with the same group, laughing over fries and boring classes. And that thought, it makes me ache. But it also makes me want to feel everything more deeply before it slips away. To look at people with brighter eyes. To say the kind of things I never thought to say. To be too much. Feel too much. Because what if this is the last time? Now that we've seen all I've learned, what do I want to learn next? After surviving the emergency medicine rotation and truthfully breaking down in the process, I realized something that shook me. I'm fragile, vulnerable, not as mentally strong as I thought. I let the chaos outside shape the calm inside. And that, more than anything, is what I now want to work on. It might take years, I'll probably fail again and again, but I think it's worth everything. Because if I don't do this, I might lose everything. So what exactly do I want to learn? Well, I want to learn how to manage my thoughts, maybe through cognitive behavioral therapy, learning how to challenge and rewire my own mind. I want to learn how to become an optimist. Like Edwin Land, the founder of Polaroid, said, optimism is a moral duty. I want to learn how to be happy, how to be mentally strong and resilient, how to become emotionally intelligent, to master myself, and finally how to build confidence and self-love. It's gonna be a hell of a ride. For relationships, I don't just want to know how to find the right partner or what the right partner even looks like. I want to become the best partner I can be. Someday, hopefully, the best mother I can be. I want to learn how to communicate, how to not let go of the people I love, how to open up and not let work consume me. I want to learn how to stay connected, heart to heart, with the people who matter most. For medicine, I want to fall in love with it again. Remember why I chose it, why it's sacred. I want to learn how to deal with my perfectionism, my fear of making a mistake. Because as people, as human beings, we make mistakes. There's no doubt about it. So I want to learn how to manage that. I also want to learn how to deal with the pain of medicine, its weight, without forgetting my humanity. I want to believe that I can be a great doctor without burning out, that I can help without losing myself, and maybe even dream bigger to make the system better, more human, more efficient, more futuristic, to leave a mark that matters. For business, I want to discover what I truly want to build, what I want to pour the rest of my life into, something enormous, something that changes lives, something that brings together everything I've learned, medicine, humanity, creativity, art. And to do that, I want to study the soul of business, the genius behind it, the craft of storytelling, the art of grabbing attention, the quiet details that turn an idea into a world. For health, I want to be at my peak, performing at my best. I want to be ready for any competition. But I also want to remember I'm human. I want to rest, sleep well, eat well, live well. Without obsessing, without counting every calorie or punishing every indulgence. I want to feel free to eat spontaneously sometimes, to go with the flow, to be alive, not just efficient. For wealth, I want to have enough to give generously, to make those I love feel safe, to create magical experiences for myself and for the people who stood by me. For that, I want to start getting that income, start getting that extra money, start working for it. God, there's so much I want to learn, so much I want to do. Everything this life has to offer. I know I'll never master it all, but I'll die trying. And I'll close this episode with a piece I wrote a few days ago. May 10th, 2025. Hey, future me. I don't want to be impatient. I don't want to rush life or demand all the answers now. But I can't help but wonder, do I get it all? The calling, the life, the guy, the family? Do I make it? Does it all come together in the end? Was it worth it? The sleepless nights, the missed connections, the sacrifices I quietly made? The letting go of pieces I thought I needed? Please tell me I'm not walking this path blindly. Please tell me this journey leads somewhere meaningful. Please tell me I'll look back one day and see how the dots all connected. And here's the answer from my hero. May 11th, 2025. Hey, babe. I could tell you so many things about your future. About the successes, the losses, the happiness, the sadness, the love and the heartbreaks, the expected and the unexpected. But just like a good book or a brilliant film, you wouldn't want it spoiled, would you? You wouldn't feel the joy of success if there weren't real risk of failure. You wouldn't savor love if you didn't know there's a chance you could lose it. It's the risk, the unknown, that makes it all more valuable, more alive. You can't enjoy life unless you go out there and live it wholeheartedly. But if you really want to know whether it was worth it, let me spoil just one thing. You will die in the end. And that's exactly what makes every single second of it worth it. The sacrifices, the connections, the sleepless nights, the tiny moments, the gains and the losses. All of it. Carpe diem, babe. Live it all. Your hero. Me. So that marks the end of season one of Chasing My Hero. And that is where I'll leave it. If you haven't yet subscribed to the podcast or YouTube channel, I'd really appreciate it if you did. Your support goes a long way in motivating me to keep chasing my hero and sharing this journey with you. Thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, take care and keep chasing your hero.